It's unfortunately easy to go through years and years of consistent unhappiness without realizing that is the life you're living. Without knowing it has happened, you can get caught in a routine that slowly drains the energy and enthusiasm out of you. But something incredible can happen when a force, either external or internal, finally interrupts that pattern. Whether it be a seemingly horrible event like an illness hitting you, or just a very unexpected interaction, when you wake up to the reality your life has become, you can finally be pushed into making a change. You can start making a consistent, conscious effort to alter yourself and your life for the better. And more beautiful still, when you start making an effort, you'll eventually see that life will back you up. Freya Sparks, the Global Vigilance League champion, learned this very lesson after achieving all the success any professional superpowered fighter could hope for, but gaining none of the happiness that should have come along with it. At the peak of her fame, but simultaneously in her lowest moment, she met a guy named Carter Sahayak, who told her he could help her gain the happiness she always yearned for. Against some hesitation, she agreed to hear him out and meet up for his advice. While Carter was far lower ranked than Freya, the global champion, they were both Vigilance fighters with powers, so they met up at the local Vigilance gym where Freya frequently trained. She had her own personal training arena there to use when she didn't want to be disturbed, so she and Carter started their chat there. Freya was nervous about just talking openly about her issues with a stranger, but as if he was reading her mind, Carter said they could do some training while they talked. He said it would be better in the future to just be talking and focusing on that, but doing a familiar activity could help ease her into an uncomfortable situation. Freya agreed to the idea and started sparring with a boxing bot. This was a stationary robot that would take swings at the target before them at whatever speed it was set at. And Freya cranked it. Freya used it to practice switching between the two types of electrical fields her body could conduct. One, a resistance field that slowed her enemies, and the other, a combat field that enhanced the power of her hits and could be used as projectile attacks. Carter did his best to not be distracted by her impressive display against the bot, as he told her that he was grateful for the opportunity to help her. Freya's head was still telling her that she should be suspicious of this guy's intentions, but her gut told her that he was exactly as genuine as he acted. Plus, the advice he'd given her thus far had worked. He'd suggested waking up and first thing setting herself in the mindset and feeling of an old positive memory to start Freya's day off on an uplifted note. Carter was ecstatic to hear that she already felt like that tactic was getting her some progress, but also said that there were plenty more things she could do to get better at the skill of happiness. He said that using past experiences wasn't even one of his best methods long term, as having a vision of future experiences was better than possibly getting stuck in trying to relive past events. Still, that method had its uses, mainly being that it could reconnect you with things you loved doing as a kid that you stopped doing, not because you were bored of them, but because other people or circumstances had led you to believe that they had no value. She told him how it had reminded her that she loved making herself wild and fun outfits to fight in when she was younger, and she stopped trying to pursue that as a professional because her agent, Chan Seki, had told her that it was bad for branding to change outfits so much in her early career. Carter even took note of Freya's snarl as she mentioned her agent, but would circle back to that later. Carter asked how long ago it had been since Freya had brought up the idea of changing outfits regularly with her agent. After a moment of thought, she admitted that it had been years. Back then, Freya was somewhat known, but still making a name for herself, and it might have been good advice career-wise. But now, Freya was literally the global champion. Carter reminded her that there were few more famous people on the planet, and at this point, Freya didn't have to worry about building her brand or making a name for herself. She was the big name in Vigilance competitions. Plus, with her fame, starting to design and switch up her outfits could even inspire others, lower in the leagues, to start doing the same if they wanted to. She was in the very unique position to be a trendsetter if she decided to break away from the norm and do what she wanted to do. Hearing that did send a warm pulse through Freya's body, but it faded as she thought about the other thing she wanted to try doing. Switching up her fighting style again. She was famous for her boring defensive tactics and had even been denied entrance into the Unitalia Invitational Tournament because the stuffy organizers said they'd only let her in if she changed things up to be more interesting for the crowds. Freya did want to change things up and experiment with how she fought, but had tried that before and was scolded by her agent and sponsors and told she was selling out to her critics who complained about her fighting style. Freya didn't want all that hate to come pouring in again. Carter's response started very simple. "Well, an important thing to consider is which is more important to you, for other people to like you or for you to like you?" Carter saying that made Freya take a full body pause, letting the boxing bot strike her across the face. Her whole body spun around and stumbled back from the bot. Carter leapt in to grab her, but she steadied herself and barely seemed to notice the hit. The only thing on her mind was, "Do I like me?" She then said to Carter, "Isn't it going to be hard for me to like me if so many other people don't?" Carter nodded. "It can be, but if you go looking right now, won't it already be easy to find people that don't like you? It's unfortunately easy for you to find because you're so famous, but it's also the same for everyone. No matter what you do, there are going to be people that don't like you and people that do. So wouldn't it be a lot more fun for people to like you for doing the things you really want to do? You're never going to be able to not care at all what other people think of you because you're not a sociopath. Caring is just a part of being human, but it's a lot easier to not be bothered by the people that don't like you when you're enjoying the life you're living and focusing on inspiring the people who do like you." Freya started getting kind of excited about that idea. It almost felt like someone was giving her permission to live the way she wanted to, and it was weird to realize that that hadn't felt like an option before, even with all her success. Freya marched towards her bag to grab her phone, saying she was going to call her agent right away and tell Chan that she was going to start wearing whatever the heck she wanted during fights. Carter stopped her. "I love that you're excited, but first let's talk about you and your agent. I'm sensing some tension." Freya explained that while Chan Seki was one of the best agents in the game, their relationship had become strained as years went on. Freya had been annoyed that Chan hadn't stood up for her to fight how she wanted and dress how she wanted, and Chan had recently started getting Freya invites to events and interviews on far too short notice, making it stressful to keep a consistent schedule. They had bickered quite a bit over this, but now they were just very blunt and short with each other when they spoke. Carter processed for a moment, then said, "I think it is worth trying to address these grievances with her again, as it sounds like you do still respect her skills as an agent. You did call her the best in the business despite your frustrations. But you have to address them in a kind way that shows you want a good relationship with her again. I can't guarantee it will work, but if it doesn't, then afterwards you can consider other options. One thing I try to do to go into a conversation with someone I'm upset with in a more kind and compassionate way is to imagine that they are currently going through whatever the most difficult situation in my life has been. What if, while you've been going through a really tough time the last few years, Ms. Seki has as well? If that is the case, it would be very easy for you two to be at each other's throats, triggered easily by other difficulties in your lives and bringing that into your relationship with each other subconsciously. Sometimes a troubled relationship, just like an unhappy life, simply needs a pattern interrupt, something to break the negative cycle and remind you of why you both were happy to start working with each other in the first place. Maybe a kind conversation about your concerns, approached this way, could be that interrupt. Freya put her phone down and didn't call yet. She and Carter spent more time together that day, and the main focus was on helping Freya to start living the way she wanted to without concerning herself with how others would react to it. She agreed to avoid social media as much as possible over the next month, and was surprised by how difficult it was to not instinctively grab her phone when she was bored. But her well-established discipline from her career helped her to avoid it. She'd also gone home after their first day and continued designing a new outfit for herself, deciding right away to wear it in her next tournament. All the while, it felt like a younger version of herself was excitedly dancing around her, cheering her on. As if reminding Freya that for the first time in years, she wasn't abandoning herself just to try and appease others. She didn't tell her agent yet what she was planning to do. She was nervous and unsure if she'd be able to make the call without just dropping Chan as her agent and telling her off for all the times she'd kept her from doing things the way she wanted. She thought it would be really satisfying to give her a piece of her mind, but Freya kept thinking about what Carter had said. She remembered that when Chan had made her a client, Seki had taken a smaller percentage of Freya's earnings than any other agent had offered. Others were trying to gouge her because she was skilled, but also young at the time, and they assumed she wouldn't know any better. Plus, having heard other horror stories of other agents doing all they could to take advantage of their clients or dropping them as soon as their popularity dipped, Freya knew that she had no interest in trying to find another agent. Despite having caused her some problems, Chan had done a lot of great things for Freya. 3 days into designing her new outfit, Freya finally called Chan and was met with the usual defensive tone. Freya's instinct was to match that energy, but she held back, knowing she was going for the pattern interrupt Carter had mentioned. "Chan, I just wanted to say, even though it does bug me when you get me events last minute and stuff, I do appreciate all the good work you've done for me in my career. I probably wouldn't have gotten to global champ status as fast without you backing me up and getting me into so many invitationals, so I probably haven't said it enough, but thanks." There was a pause, then an uncharacteristically quiet, "Sure, kid. It's my job." It was a bit more dismissive than Freya had hoped, but she still went on to explain her plans, to try new outfits and fighting styles, and Chan told her to go nuts. At this point, anything she did differently was likely to get more attention on her, which generally meant more invites to tournaments and events. Plus, they both liked the idea of her finally going to Unitalia's Invitational. It was shocking to Freya how easily that conversation went. It was like she'd been drowning just to realize the water was shallow enough for her to stand in. Freya's mind still felt like an enemy a lot in those next weeks, as it had for so many years, but she found the gaps between the angry and stressful thoughts were getting larger. She'd get up and genuinely be excited to try some new moves or work on her outfit. She kept on meeting with Carter and started training him to get better at his own abilities. His family inherited Shakti K card, or Cards of Power, allowed him to utilize different superpowers, and he was working on using two at a time. Freya couldn't go anywhere near all out against him, but it did provide an opportunity for her to try fighting someone without her resistance field or mixing in moves she'd never attempted. Her emotional guard had lowered a lot around him, and she found, more so than with anyone she knew, it was pretty effortless to be happy around him, as he was so happy himself. Eventually, Freya got an invite to the Australian Invitational, which she'd fought at before but was a big globally televised event. Chan even got the invite to her before the official invitations had been announced publicly. The effort was appreciated and Freya made sure to thank her for it, realizing how rarely she'd been thanking Chan for things in the past. Chan still just replied, "Sure, kid, it's my job." Freya had finished making her new outfit and a few days before leaving for the tournament, brought it to the gym to show Carter. She thought he'd be excited about it, but he got a bit timid. "What, you don't like it?" He replied, no, of course I love it, and it's what you wanted to make, it's just a little bit more revealing than I expected is all. Not that that's bad, wear what you want to, wear it, it's great. As long as it feels like you, then it's perfect." He was right, there was a bit less to it than her usual outfit, but she never loved how the old one tightened around her shoulders too much, and the extra floppy fabric around her waist was just unnecessary. Besides, plenty of other fighters wore much more intentionally revealing attire to fight. Some got all their popularity just from doing so. Freya also surprised Carter by bringing him to the tournament and getting him his own hotel room and front row tickets to the show. He tried to refuse, saying that it was too much to accept, but she said she wanted him there as moral support. Plus, she reminded him that she'd earned $56 million in the past year, and he felt a lot less weird about accepting then. Freya would have been a big talking point at this tournament regardless of how she showed up, but coming onto the scene on her first day in a brand new homemade outfit got the attention of every news outlet on site. She got pretty confident saying, "Sorry, but I'm not taking any questions right now," and just going about doing whatever she wanted to do, but she did get wrangled into a few interviews. Her main takeaway statement of the day that people clung to was, "I became the global champion by taking it kind of safe. Now I'm just happy to have fun with it." Freya's first fight was up against an Australian champ named Wallop Beaton, fresh off a loss in the British Invitational against Chadwick Geiger. He was hungry for a win, but would have been easy for Freya to thump if she went her usual route of wearing out her foe's endurance. Wallop was all about agility and fought mostly with his legs and the tail that sprung from his lower back, but knew about Freya's resistance field and started the fight hanging back. Until he saw her running in headfirst right off the start. She had her yellow combat electricity going and channeled it into her feet to leap and launch herself off the ground in a 30-foot bound towards Wallop. He adjusted his mindset quickly and whipped around to smack her with his tail, but she switched to resistance field midair, slowing his tail's speed, but not her own, and she tackled him to the ground, before switching back to combat and pounding his chest with thunderous punches. He got a foot between him and herself and flung her off him right towards the wall of the arena. She channeled electricity into her feet and had a small field of it running between her and the wall, and it helped her slide across the wall, leap off, and land in a casual walk back on the field. The crowd exploded in cheers, but Freya barely even heard them. She was too focused on how much fun that had just been. It even crossed her mind again that after she won this tournament with new fighting tactics, she'd finally be getting her first invite to the Unitalia Invitationals. Or so she thought. The tournament went incredibly well for Freya. She won that first fight against Wallop and may not have had clean victories all the way through, but did still come out on top. While Freya was still doing her best to not look at social media responses, Carter handpicked plenty to show her how excited her fans were and how there were already people making cosplays of her new outfit to wear to Vigilance conventions. That tournament was the most fun Freya had had at a competition in years, and she couldn't wait to do it again. Though some news did eventually come out that would hinder that excitement. The announcement for the Unitalia Invitationals came, and Freya was surprised that they hadn't hinted that she would finally be invited to build buzz. It was public knowledge that she'd never been invited because of her boring fighting style. The day of the announcements came, though, and Freya was not on the invite list. In the press conference afterwards, the organizers were asked why Sparks hadn't been invited, and they gave a snide and ridiculous argument that her new attire is inappropriate and does not align with the ideals of our organization. If she wants to fight dressed like that, she can do it elsewhere. Freya was on the brink of punching her TV through her wall. Now they were clearly just rejecting her out of spite, or maybe for the attention they'd get for doing so. She saw her phone ringing. It was Carter, likely having seen the news himself. She didn't want to talk to him. She wanted to break something. But then noticed that she also had a text. It was from Chan, and it just read, "Not this time, they don't. Sit back and enjoy the show, kid." Followed by a winky face. Freya didn't know what that meant. She asked for an explanation, but just got two more winky faces in reply. Part of her was furious, but another part was more curious. She texted Carter saying that she was fine and would talk to him tomorrow, then used some of the tactics he'd taught her to relax, process what she was feeling, then fall asleep. The next day, she woke up, didn't go online, and went to the gym to meet Carter. He was there waiting outside and came sprinting to her with a phone in his hand. "Have you seen Sparks Unite yet?" She shook her head, totally confused, but then he showed her his phone. The hashtag Sparks Unite had exploded overnight in support of Freya being invited to the Unitalia Invitationals. Two big-name fighters, Flamtatious Staphos and Chadwick Gygar, who had been invited to the tournament, had made themselves quickly constructed versions of Freya's new outfit and posted pictures online in them saying,
"This is what I'm wearing to Unitalia this year, unless you finally invite Freya Sparks and let her wear whatever she wants."
Chadwick Gygar having posted that was astounding. Flamtatious was known for wearing goofy outfits, but Gygar wearing one on his massive, hulking frame was hilarious. More and more people had gotten on board and were doing the same thing, or just backing the hashtag. Freya even glanced through the window of the gym and saw people wearing her new colors and outfits clearly referencing it. She also realized that the two people who had started the hashtag were both Vigilants who had Chan as their agent. She quickly called Chan and asked if this had been her doing. Her response was, "Yeah, an inside source told me ahead of time you weren't getting the invite for a total baloney reason, so I got in touch with some of my other clients who did get the invite and got him on board. Flamtatious will do anything for attention, and he and Chadwick became buddies recently and have huge followings. So once they agreed, with a bit more fueling from me behind the scenes, it just blew up from there. Not to spoil the ending, but I already heard from the organizers. They're getting plenty of bad press, so they're announcing amendments tonight. Congrats, Sparks. You're finally going to Unitalia." Freya dropped to her knees with her eyes watering. Waves of shocked excitement were pulsing through her, not just for getting to go to the tournament, but from seeing so many people having gone to bat for her without her even having to ask. She'd started living the way she wanted and now felt so supported in doing so in a way she couldn't have expected. She emphatically thanked Chan, to which her chuckling agent replied, "Of course, kid. It's my pleasure." I hope you enjoyed part 2 of Freya Spark's story. I intend for Vigilance to be largely an anthology series, so you can jump in on any episode and enjoy it, but for some important characters like her and Agama Knight from our Unitalia-based episodes, there will be continuations. Like how Augie has already gotten a part 2 in Akaru Inoue's episode. If you enjoyed this, subscribe or follow to hear more episodes when they come out, and know that this series is going on not just YouTube, but other podcast platforms as well. If you're new to my work, on the Popcraft Studios YouTube channel, I have hundreds of other stories and videos, with most of the other original ones being in my other series, Multiverse Tales. Thanks, and hope to see you in the next one.